You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, for no other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Well, let's make this one short and sweet. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you as you bless our time together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your watchfulness over those that we honor today. We thank you for the strength and the patience, the kindness and the love that they've given to each and every one of us. We pray, Lord, that you continue to supply their needs through Christ, your Son and our Savior. Now, Father, as we spend time in the Word, we pray that it meet each heart's need this morning, for every heart has a need to know you, to know you better day after day. And may that be the end result, to know your Son and the great love that was evidence in his willfulness to die for our sins. We need to know that too. But we also need to know, Lord, how important it is that we not just hear this and walk away, but to be doers of it too. So we pray, Lord, that the Word do its work in our heart, and there we allow it to do its work in our life. We ask you, Father, to bless this time, for we ask it in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's pray again. We'll dismiss. No, that's not. No, we got to have a lesson. Let's have at least a little bit. You know, I'm thoughtful of Mother's Day about how hard and difficult it is for mothers, how much time and effort they put in children. And you may wonder, why did I pick this passage? And well, this is where it began. I mean, if you just stop and think about it, this is it. This is the first child that was born on this planet. Cain and Abel. These two children are the first to celebrate Mother's Day. Think about that. What an amazing thought. You know, it's always good to have an amazing thought. I remember this cartoon with Lucy and Linus. And Lucy and Linus are standing there. Linus looks at Lucy and says, tell me a story. She kind of looks at him like, you're stupid. He said, no, tell me a story. She said, I'll tell you a story. A man was born, he lived, and he died. She turned around and she walked off. Linus kind of looks there and he goes, gives you cause to think, doesn't it? A man was born, he lived and he died. That's the life. And that's the challenge that a mother has. A mother has a man. She has a daughter. She has a child, and that child has a life. They're born. They live and they die. And it's always the thought on a mother's heart. What is my child like? What is my child going to do? What is going to be the end result? And most mothers never see the end result of their child. And those that do, what a sad thing it is, because it's awful for a parent to lose a child. It's not the proper order. And it strikes at the heart. Now, this is the first day that Lisa and I celebrate Mother's Day without our mother. And that's a sadness. It's a sadness in our heart to miss her and not have to, you know, deal with the things that you deal with on Mother's Day. Notice I say deal with the things. Isn't that just what a loving son? But let's be frank and honest. Yeah, we enjoy doing those things. We talk about those things. We talk about what we're going to get Mom for Mother's Day and what Mama would like and what Mama wanted. And she'd like flowers. We'd go out and buy her flowers all the time, and she'd put them out, and that was something that we enjoyed doing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So my mom, as you know, was rather a unique person. And there's always been a doubt in my heart about whether or not she's saved or not. I still have that doubt. If I were to get really serious about it, I'd say no, she's not. But it's not my responsibility. I try to be the fruit inspector, and I wasn't able to discern any fruit. In fact, I addressed that several years ago. I think it was back in 2001. And time that I did it, I went in, went over and took the presents, and I took a book, The Lord is My Shepherd. And I gave that to her, and some flowers, and a gift, and a card. And the card was a Hallmark card, but it was a card that really expressed my sentiments. And it said, "Mom, you've been wonderful. You've given me all the great things in life that a son needs, and I want to share with you one of the greatest things in life that I have, and that is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And it went into describing that, and she read it, and she set it down, and she looked at me, and she said, "You don't think I'm saved?" And I said, "I don't know." This is very personal. I apologize if it bothers some of you, but it's important because it's leading somewhere. I said, "No, Mom, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you were an OU fan or an Oklahoma State fan, I think I'd know. You know, you'd be going Boomer Sooner, and you'd be going Cowboys at least once a week during the autumn. But I don't see any other fruit in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life." And she got angry. She got upset with me. And you could see that her countenance changed immediately, and then she responded. And I understand that. And when a person doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they have that kind of response when they're challenged about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially if they think that their way is acceptable and good. Nothing wrong with that. Well, my mother passed away a few weeks ago, and as you know, we cleaned up the apartment. And as we're cleaning up the apartment, I went through a ton of books. She had all kinds of books, and I talked a little bit about that, I think, last week, just books that we found in the apartment that had to do with metaphysics and spiritualism and Eastern religion and things like that. I get through all of these books, and it took hours, didn't it, Sherry? I was looking through the books. Maybe there's a $1,000 bill. Some inheritance or, you know, I really just went through the books and thumbed through them just to make sure it wasn't any private, because we were going to give the books away or sell them. And the very last book, I go into her bedroom, and in the cabinet underneath the TV stand, in the cabinet, open the doors, the very last book, there's 8 or 10 of them, the very last book I opened is that book I gave her. Now, don't jump to any conclusions, because I guarantee you that book had not been opened. I mean, I had to pry it open. It had not been opened, but that card was in there, and I praise God because He gave me a witness that His word never returns unto Him void. I did the right thing. Now, how it turned out is between Him and her. Like she said, just next time this hits, give me the big shot and let me get up to the pearly gates, and God and I will talk it out. And that's the way that ended. So, I share that with you to tell you that when you have that kind of situation in life, and you know, it's wonderful to talk about the ideal situation, but we don't always have the ideal situation. Mothers don't have the ideal situation either with children. But I want to tell you that I did learn that God does change hearts. He's the only one who can change a heart. Also, God does heal broken hearts. He's the only one who can heal a broken heart. Man's wisdom can't do it. Man's strength can't do it. Money won't do it. Possessions won't do it. But God can do it. I read this lesson today because this is a story about a mother who must have had a broken heart. She's got two boys. She's got two boys. And when they get of age, and they are of age, when they get of age, there's a conflict between these two boys, and one of them kills the other. One of her sons kills her other son, and then the son that is remaining is banished and cursed. What great sorrow there must have been in Eve's life. I don't know if we ever stop and think about that. But that's the curse, isn't it? That's what God promised would happen. Go back over to chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, God gave Adam and Eve one commandment. Don't eat of this tree. And they couldn't even keep one commandment. Just a side note. The devil is crafty. Don't you ever think that your enemy doesn't know you. Don't you ever think that you don't have an enemy. He is there day and night. Peter says he's like a lion, he's roaring. And what's sad is that a lot of people have plugged their ears up. Don't hear it. They're not afraid of it. They got that t-shirt, no fear. It's sad, but there should be great fear when you start to think about who your enemy is and who your adversary is. And don't think that he doesn't know you. He knows us inside and out. And he's not happy about trying to really disrupt our lives. I mean, a lot of times disruption in life, conflict in life, sorrow, disappointment will drive us to the Lord. Won't it? Think about that. Tears probably lined the street or the trail or the road to the Lord Jesus Christ every time. Because that sin is acknowledged. It says in chapter 3, in verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Young or old, boy or girl, if you don't understand that you have an adversary, you better stop and check again. And it's not one that you should ever take lightly. God gives instruction in regard to that. He tells us we're to be wise. We're to understand, at least know, and not be ignorant of the wiles of the devil or the devices of the devil. And if you don't have a mother to teach you that, then it's something you're going to have to learn. And sometimes the school of hard knocks is the best teacher, but it's better to have learned it in the home. What a wonderful university the home can be to the things that are spiritual and that all of us need. I imagine, women, that you think that when you found Mr. Wright and got married and had children, that it wasn't all unlike what happened here. You came out of probably a nice home, the Garden of Eden. Wish you could go back sometimes after you left home. But you can't go back. You probably married Mr. Wright thinking that the world, how was it Mac used to say it? You'd have the lion by the tail, the tiger by the tail on a downhill run. That's how Mac used to say it. And you probably thought that's the way it was until all of a sudden you had children. And then life changes. And that's kind of the beginning of what life is really all about. Eve found that out. She left Eden. She had children. And then she had sorrow. Look at verse 16 of chapter 3. God says unto the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Is that not just a picture? Not just of birth, but of the life of raising children. You think you know what you're doing. And then the next one comes along and you find out you can throw that book away. That's what it was like for Eve with Cain and Abel. Cain was raised, if you look there in chapter 4, and his upbringing was of a religious sense. We see in verse 5, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So he knew that there was a relationship with God that everybody had. It's in our nature. God has put that in our hearts to want to seek and to know him. We have a choice, and every child has this selection to make, whether to do it the right way or do it the wrong way. You know, one of the most popular books or verses is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Many of you know it. Train up a child, what? In the way he should go. Not in the way he would go. But in the way what? He should go. And that's a responsibility. In Ephesians, Paul says what? Parents, you're given a responsibility to raise your children in what? The nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have that responsibility, fathers and mothers, and particularly mothers, because mothers are really with the children more than the fathers are. Mothers have this tremendous responsibility to build the house. Every wise woman builds her house, Proverbs chapter 14, but the foolish pluck it down with their own hands. But mother, you can do all that you're supposed to do in the life of a child, and there comes a point in time where it's the child's responsibility. It's the child's opportunity to exercise faith unto the Lord. And it has nothing to do with the parent, because a parent can't save a child. Anybody here know of one parent that's saved a child? Yeah, I mean, if you do, then let's take that song, Jesus Saves, and tear it up. Because it's Jesus that saves. It's the work of God in the heart of a man or a woman. Cain is mentioned only a couple of more times in Scripture. Okay? And let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and look at one of these. 1 John, not John the Gospel, but the letter, the epistle. And you wonder why Cain killed his brother Abel. Well, let me tell you, it was because he was wicked. He's a wicked man. He's an evil man. I mean, we don't need psychologists and psychiatrists. We don't need a group of counselors to come down and explain this to us, because God has already told us. In chapter 3, 1 John, verse 12. And John here is talking about we're to love our brothers and love one another, not as Cain, verse 12, who was of that wicked one. He killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Go over to a couple of books over to Jude, and we have another picture of Cain. Cain was wicked. Cain was evil. Cain's works were wicked. Cain's works were evil. In verse 11 of Jude, God says, "Woe unto them! And these are they who despise religious upbringing. These are they who despise the word of the Lord." In fact, back up in verse 8. "In like manner also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, when consenting with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.' But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain." What is the way of Cain? It's natural. It's natural way. It's the natural man. It's the natural religion. It's the way that is seeming right unto a man, instead of the way that God says. And that is the way that a parent is responsible for, to train up a child in the way he should go. And the beauty of that verse in Proverbs 22:6 is that when he's old, he'll not depart. And think about how many old kids have come back to the Lord. The prodigal son. I think of him. I think about the fact that when he was there, he began to realize the things that his father had and his home had and the upbringing that he had, and he knew that he had fallen so far. And that if he could just get back to that way, if he could just get back to the way that he should go, no matter where his position was in that way, if he could just get back there, things would be better. And that's because when he was raised, when he was trained, when he was reared, he was trained in the way that he should go. Proverbs, I want you to look at a verse in chapter 10 with me. Because as we look at Cain, we see that Cain was wicked and evil, and we see that Abel was righteous. And if we go back to, if we were to look at Hebrews chapter 11, we'd see that Abel's offering was a better offering, because it was a righteous offering and it was accepted to God. What was the difference between the two offerings?
blood. Cain offered of the work of the ground, but God had shown the forgiveness of sin only came through the blood. Abel offered of the choice of his flock. And God had given that example when Adam and Eve had sinned and he killed an animal and gave him a coat. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father. You young kids that are here today, don't ever forget this. A wise son makes a glad father. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now, a wise person is in contrast to what? A foolish person. A fool. Now, who is a fool? A fool is somebody who does not obey the Word of God. You young fellows ever heard the story about the guy who built his house on the sand? Do you remember the story about when the winds came and the rains came and the water beat? What happened to his house? It crashed. Do you remember the story about a wise man who built his house on a rock? He was instructed to build his house in the right place. Not like the three little pigs, so when the wolf came along, blew it down. He built it on a rock. And who is the rock? It's Christ. It's Jesus. You build that house on that rock, and you'll not fear anything. You'll suffer a lot of things. You can't get away from suffering. You'll have sorrow. But if you'll build your house on a rock, you'll make your father glad. But a foolish son. Who's a foolish son? The one who hears the Word of God but then does what he wants to do. He builds his house on the sand. And he what? Is a heaviness of his mother. Contrast with me real quick here. Moms, you know what you can train your kids? Well, right here is a perfect example of some of the things you can train them. Look at verse 1. There is evil. There is wisdom and there is foolishness. Be sure you know the difference. You have to understand foolishness and wisdom. In verse 2, there is wickedness and there is righteousness. You need to understand wickedness and righteousness. Mothers, you can't understand the difference between the two unless first you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The very first thing you can give to your child is faith. Teach your child faith by having faith. The very first thing that needs to be done is to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be master, mediator, and Messiah. Got my three M's in there. Master, mediator, and Messiah. And that's Christ. He wants to be that in your life. You can't just take a little Messiah and have none of the master. That's not the way it works. Romans 10:9. If you confess the Lord Jesus, if you confess Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be what? Saved. You can't take a little without the rest. You've got to take it all. He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your mediator. He wants to be your master in life. And that's the first thing that a mother has to do. And it's never too late. It's never too late. Maybe the time in life of raising those kids under the training of the nurture and admonition of the Lord has passed and you didn't get to do it because your life wasn't right before God. But there's always time. How? By imitation. Kids learn more by what they see than what they hear. Do you know that's true? Now you think when you teach them that they learn a lot by what they hear, because you can sit there, guys, if you've ever taught any boys, they'll be fiddling and doing this and rocking in their chair and playing with a pencil and you teach them everything, but when it comes time for the test, they got those answers. And you go, how in the world did they have those answers? They hear, but they really learn more by what they see. That's true for dads too, but you know, I don't get dads until next month. So we'll do that next month. There is a difference between wickedness and righteousness. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. You got so much you could learn here. This is a vitamin a day, the book of Proverbs. You don't need to read at all. You could sit there for 15 minutes and meditate on this one verse. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. And you can't give any more than you have. And if you don't have this understanding, if you don't have this wisdom in your life, how in the world can you ever expect to give it to anyone else? I couldn't begin to tell you about heart surgery. Although in just a minute I'm going to read you a story about a heart that was dissected. But I couldn't begin because I don't have anything in me about heart surgery. I know that there's three-way bypass and there's four-way bypass, and I know stuff about they get the vein from a leg or somebody else. I don't, you know, it's just all complicated because I've never studied it. I couldn't begin to talk to you about it, at least from a point of view that if I were going to be a surgeon, that you would have any assurance that I knew what I was doing. You can't give any more than what you have. If you don't own a mansion, you can't, when you die, bequeath a mansion to anybody. If you own a shack, all you're going to give them is a shack. That's all you got. Isn't that right? Think about it. You can't give them any more than what you have. So the first thing is you've got to have what it is you're to give them. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. But righteousness delivers from death. I love those two verses God gave me in Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. I'm persuaded neither death. I just stopped there and I'm so happy. Because I know when I die, I'll be with my Lord and Savior. I am persuaded neither death nor life. Well, that's wonderful too, because I'm a foul up. I'm the biggest goof up in the world, just like you are. What are you laughing at? But it's true. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. Praise God that it's not your righteousness, mom or dad, or your righteousness, pastor, or your righteousness, teacher or friend, that I'm looking for. I want the righteousness of Christ because He knew no sin. And that's why, moms, you got to have that first in life. He knew no sin. He became sin. He became your sin and my sin so that His righteousness become our righteousness. And then we're supposed to live that way. But we can't do it if we don't have it. You can't give any more than what you have. I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creation or creature or anything else, period, will keep me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I've got that. Look at verse 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Never be anxious for what God's doing in your life and how He's caring for you. You know what you do when you begin to get anxious? You begin to work around Him and without Him. You seen those bumper stickers? God is my co-pilot. Better change seats. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Doesn't mean He's going to give you filet mignon. But isn't it better to have the, what was it, herbs, spinach? That's it. In a house that has happiness and is blessed than to have filet mignon in a house that has nothing but sorrow and turmoil? What's the rest? But He casts away the substance of the wicked. Verse 4. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. You got to teach them to work. You got to, you know, all the things that you teach them, that's one of the things that teach them to work. Verse 5. This whole chapter, moms, dads too, is a wonderful chapter of instructions about what is righteous and how they can be righteous, how they can be wise. This is all about wisdom. And it says, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. But you can't give any more than what you have. That's all you got to give. Verse 5, he that gathers in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is the son that causes shame. You know, it's always the the burden of a foolish son falls on a mother. And that's because there's such a close tie. I'm a father. I can't really explain that. I know this. I remember Leland told me one time, he said, "Derek, always remember, a father corrects and a mother protects." And that's just the way mothers are. You know, it's a mother hen. Father's out there, bring on the storm, you know. Better have that house built on a rock if that storm's coming. You could spend your whole day just at this one chapter. But I mean, God's not saying spend a day. He doesn't say 24 hours. He doesn't say 1 hour. He just says, spend some time with me. Just spend some time with me and let me communicate the things that I have and I'll give them to you. Let me teach you what I have. And the things that he wants you to teach, I guess from a mother's point of view, would be that faith and that hope and that love that can only be found in him. See, it was what? 1 Corinthians 13? These three things abide. Faith. Give them your faith. Hope. Hope in what? Hope in what? Hope in him. Go to Romans. Look at Romans chapter Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption that is the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. By grace are we saved. But here it says, by hope we are saved. Go back to Romans 10:9. If you confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. But what's the second part? If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's hope. That's what I'm looking forward to. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? Give your children hope, but give them hope in the Lord God Almighty. Give them hope in the fact that there is a life hereafter and that there is an expectation in this life that has great bearing on the life hereafter. Not just in salvation, but even to those that are saved. Godliness has a profit today, but it has a better profit tomorrow in the life to come. Verse 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Mom's got to have patience, doesn't she? Maybe through patience we learn hope. But faith, hope, and what's the last? Love. And the greatest of these is love. A mother has to have love. A mother has to be filled with love to do what she does. But love isn't indiscriminate. Love says, train up a child in the way he should go. That doesn't mean to indulge. That doesn't mean to overlook and to wink. Look with me at in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. The rod is not the easiest thing to do from a mother's point of view. Her heart rebels against it. But she knows because of the importance of the discipline in life. If they're not brought under discipline, if they are left to themselves, that they will do nothing but bring shame and heartache. The good mother. The good mother. What were you saying? Oh, verse 15. Oh, the rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Thank you. Glad you pointed that out. I was going to chapter 15 to find it. There is a verse in 15, so that's why. Let's go over there real quick and look at it. Verse 20. That's it. A wise son. Once again, to reiterate, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Now, do you guys, you young guys, know what I mean when I'm talking about a fool? I'm talking about a guy who has heard the word of God and has ignored it, who doesn't apply it, who doesn't follow it, who doesn't obey it, who doesn't trust it, who doesn't take this passage in Proverbs to heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. There's a lot of times in all of our lives, young or old, where it doesn't make any sense. Life just doesn't make any sense. But it gives us cause to think. And when we begin to think, in a Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, so he is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And that's what the mother can work on, is the heart. And teach that child to guard the heart and keep the heart. But you can't give any more than what you got. If you don't have it, you can't give it. I can't imagine what it would be like to dissect a heart. But a young girl in high school has written a little story about a mother's heart. I got this listening to Focus on the Family and Fern Nichols as a teacher. She has this thing called Mothers in Touch. I'm not that familiar with it, but it is an organization that works with mothers. And she was at a conference, Fern Nichols was, and she had a mother give her this, and she said, my daughter wrote this. And it's called A Mother's Heart by Jennifer Jones. I had the liberty of dissecting a mother's heart, she wrote. As I approached the heart, I was aware of a thick red substance oozing out of it. I studied this weird substance and found it to be love. The heart appeared to be so full of love that it couldn't hold it all in. In examining the heart, I found nerves that were attached to every part of the body. At first, I didn't see a nerve going from the heart to the hands, but in looking closer, I found that this nerve had been used so much for giving and helping that it was worn thin. After cutting into the heart, I could see that there had been many times when the heart had been broken. But the red substance had filled the cracks and in time made them disappear. There are many cavities in the heart. The first one I explored contained patients. And on the walls of this cave, I observed markings, like high water markings, that indicated the levels of patience she had during her life. All through the heart, I noticed some huge orange clumps. At first, they didn't look like anything special, but in taking out my microscope and examining them further, I found them to be clumps of caring and understanding. Next cavity I looked into looked to me like a library. The shelves were full of books of wisdom. Most of the books were worn and old. And from this cavity, there was a special cord that attached to the mouth. It appeared that this had been used a lot for teaching others. Everything in the heart seemed to be very warm and bright until I came upon one small area. It was dark and cold and hidden away back in the back part of the heart. There were little protective vines growing through this space. They were intertwined with little vines with little petals of worry. I've seen these vines grow in other hearts and finally strangle and kill them. Surprisingly enough, though, through this whole heart, I could not find a trace of vanity or conceit. Everything that was seen exuded with love and kindness. A mother's heart. Faith, hope, and love. Remember this, moms. You can't give any more than what you got. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the celebration that it's not just nationwide, but worldwide about mothers. And we do thank you for mothers that are virtuous women indeed. Magnificent mothers indeed. Mothers whose children rise up and call them blessed. Mothers who have given all that they've got and have never ran out of that resource because all that they have, they got from you. We praise you, Father, for your wisdom. We praise you for the opportunity to exercise that wisdom in our lives. May we be faithful and obedient. We pray this, Father, in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.